Let's pray. Come, Heavenly Father, make your presence known to us today. Enter our hearts, our minds, and open our ears so that we can hear your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. Now hear the word of God. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his own heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So our scripture today is actually part of Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. And he's speaking to the disciples, and also it says, a multitude of people from all of Judea, Jerusalem, the coast of Tyre, and Sidon. So there are a lot of people there that are listening to Jesus. And he just gotten finished telling them that they should love their enemies, turn the other cheek, do unto others as you'd have them do to you, and not to judge other people. So Jesus is calling the people to discipleship. And he knew that discipleship was not easy. Jesus' call was pretty easy. Follow me. But what that meant and what that still means for us today is that when we agree to follow Jesus, we're agreeing to a radical change in our lives. In the scripture today, Jesus is using four parables to help us understand what discipleship means. The first one, he's telling us that the blind cannot lead the blind. In other words, we can't lead people to Christ if we're not Christ followers ourselves, and if we're not disciples of Christ already. The second one is about removing the log that's in our own eyes before we try to remove that speck that's in someone else's eye. So basically, don't point to the faults, the small faults of other people, because we likely have larger ones ourselves. The third parable is the one we hear today about producing good fruit. And then the last one is about having a solid foundation when you build a home. Because when you do that, you can withstand trouble that might come along the way. So the last two parables, when I hear them, they remind me about gardening. And it may be thinking, okay, that's a stretch, Dondra, but I'm hoping you'll understand. You know how much I love to garden, or at least some of you do. This time of the year, I start getting excited because these green sprigs start coming out of the ground, and the earth is warming, days are getting longer, and I know that before too much longer, we're going to be able to play in the dirt, and I get really excited about that. And I try to decide, what am I going to plant in my garden this year? And one year, as I was looking, I noticed an area next to the driveway and the fence that was pretty barren looking, and it needed something, so I was going to plant something there. And I watched the area, and I discovered it gets lots of sun. I need to plant something there that needs a lot of sun. So I did some research, tried to figure out the best flower to plant there. And I decided on black-eyed Susans. They're pretty hardy in this area. They're drought resistant. They like a lot of sun. So it would be the perfect place to put them. So I went and I bought some black-eyed Susans. I planted them right there and I watered them and I babied them all summer long, and I got a few flowers, and I thought, next year, they're going to be great, and they're going to start spreading out, and before too long, black-eyed Susans are going to cover that entire area. So next year, a few little green sprigs started coming out, and then they died. There was no fruit My flowers did not come up. And I was really disappointed, but I wasn't deterred. I kept buying more and more and more and more, planting the same flowers in the same place every year. And finally, I went to a nursery, and as I was checking out with my black-eyed Susans again, the woman at the cash register told me, "You know, I think you need to figure out why these won't grow there before you plant more. Maybe the soil is not okay." And I discovered that that was the problem. My black-eyed Susans would not grow there because my soil was bad. I didn't have the right foundation for these plants. And when they experienced stress, too much heat, not enough water, they couldn't survive and they died. And it's similar for Christians in many ways with this. We start out with so much hope. We hear Jesus say, "Follow me." And we say yes. And we think that that's all we need to do. It's kind of like me thinking that all I had to do was dig a hole and I could grow black-eyed Susans. But I had to do more than that. And as Christians, saying yes is the first step, but there's more to it. The foundation that we have is very important. We need good soil. And if I'd had my soil tested before I grew all those black-eyed Susans, I would have saved myself a lot of time, energy, and money. I don't even want to think about how much money I spent on all those black-eyed Susans that only died, and I just got a bunch of sticks. And as Christians, in order for us to bear good fruit, we need a good foundation. We need nutrient-rich soil. So we have to feed ourselves. And how do we do that? We do that with spiritual disciplines like Bible study and worship, devotional time, prayer, meditation. All of these things help us to nourish the soil that we have so that we can produce good fruit. And that's what Jesus was talking about in this particular parable. He's telling us what the marks of good disciples look like. It's people who have fruit coming from their hearts. Fruit like joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These should be our fruits. But we have to ask ourselves, are these the fruits that come out of our heart? When we accept Jesus' invitation to follow me, we are agreeing to put in the work that's needed to nourish our soil and our souls. When we don't have the proper nutrients, then we can't produce the fruit that God wants us to produce. And when we claim to be Christians, people are looking to see what our fruit is. So what are we producing? To me, the most powerful of this sentence in this entire parable is the very last one. The one that says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Let that sink in. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I read that and it did sink in. And I started thinking, what's coming out of my mouth? What's coming out of all of our mouths? Even further, what's coming from our fingers or our thumbs? Because nowadays, it's more than just what comes out of our mouth. It's also what we put out there on social media, and that comes out of our fingers. So, are we being overly critical? Are we finding fault in everyone and everything around us? Are we engaging in gossip? Are we commenting negatively on social media? What does it look like? What does our presence look like? on Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever the current social media platform is that we're using? What do we look like? What are we presenting? Are we short with our coworkers and our friends and our families? Are we quick to anger? What would we think of ourselves if they took a compilation of things that we said or things that we write and we had to read them or hear them? This happened to someone. This happened to Monica Lewinsky. A lot of you probably know who that is, but for those of you who don't, she's in her 40s now, but back when she was 22, she fell in love with her boss. Her boss just happened to be the president of the United States. And she had a friend, and I'm using quotation marks, because this friend recorded her talking without her knowing about it. And then that recording became part of evidence in a trial. And Monica had to listen to herself to verify that she said everything that was on those tapes. It was about 20 hours. And she had to sit in a room and listen to it. And this is what she said of herself. "I listen to a sometimes catty, sometimes churlish, sometimes silly self being cruel, unforgiving, uncouth. I listened and I was deeply, deeply ashamed of the worst version of myself, a self I didn't even recognize." So what if we had to do that? How would we feel about ourselves if we had to listen to things that we've said or things that we have written? What kind of fruit would we be producing? Would it be good fruit? Or would it be rotten, evil fruit? You know, this parable is short, but if we really consider it, and if we apply it critically to our lives, we'll find that it carries a great deal of conviction, especially if we concentrate on that one sentence. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So let's explore our hearts and let's think about what's coming out of our mouths and our fingers and our thumbs and figure out if the fruit that we're producing is pleasing to God. And if we don't think it is, then let's ask God to change our hearts so that we can produce the good fruit of God's kingdom. And let's engage in some spiritual disciplines that can help us enrich our soil and that will give God a means of communicating with us so that our fruit will be good and that everyone around us will know what it means to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for calling us to follow you and help us to understand what true discipleship looks like. Help us to produce the fruit that is pleasing to you. Expose our hearts and convict us of any way that we are not being true to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.